Right. Ready? Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's November 28th regular city council meeting. If you'd all please rise. Short private invocation. Ask God's blessing upon this city and wisdom as our city council makes its decisions tonight. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 1D is citizen input on our agenda. Any citizen here tonight who would like to address the city council? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to item 1E, roll call. I've received a message from John Erickson that they've had some sickness and he didn't want to spread the goodness here at the council meeting. Although I did say if you attended remotely, just we would check, is there, John, are you here remotely? No. Okay. So then I'd entertain a motion to excuse John from our meeting tonight.
I'll make a motion to excuse John.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I'd like to move to item 2, which is the approval of tonight's agenda.
Make that motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Second. Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now item 3 is our consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll get into our current business tonight. And our first item 4A is our budget discussion. The city's finance officer, Spencer Williams, is going to give us a report and walk us through this next session of our budget.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. As we, tonight is really a continuation of our meeting that we had last time. We've got just the last couple of red zone items to discuss tonight. And then at the conclusion of tonight's meeting, hopefully we have all the decisions made, and I'll spend this week preparing the ordinances and things to bring the final budget back in our next Monday night, December 5th, in that meeting, so we can pass the budget and then we're good for next year. With that, we can just start where we left off. We have just a few items here in yellow to still discuss. And hopefully, here's one item here in red that I'll take off. And this item here in red, this is the compactor roller. And just confirm, so that's a red item to take off?
Yep.
That's okay. And then our we just have these yellow items down here to discuss. The first one here was a restroom at Tagaris Park. We played around with funding part of it out of the REIT fund and the other part out of the ARPA money. And really that's up to council. So we have that item. We have City Hall HVAC. Really, this is, we kind of talked about this a little bit more internally, and we might need some more development on this project before we say yes, go for this dollar amount. And then this item down here is fire district equipment. That item that we just brought up at our last meeting. So, anyone want to take the first one? Or
I'll start with the Figueres Park, just to refresh the council's memory. We have acquired that park here earlier in the year. We put some money into rehabbing it, and now we have a tremendous amount of usage from the soccer community and the youth soccer community. And one of the things that we don't have is any kind of a restroom area down there. And so council, the reasoning behind this item in the budget was to put in a restroom down there to accommodate the massive amounts of kids and youth and adults that are using the park. So that was why that was put on there. And we had just hadn't finished that discussion at the end of our last meeting. So that's why that item is there. We had the $350,000 on the HVAC equipment. And I think that was a placeholder figure. We were changing that around a number of times. And I think Kurt has a little bit of information that he would share with the council on that item. And then, of course, the fire department equipment. This was for the breathing apparatus and the containers for the breathing apparatuses. And that was a $200,000 item. We had just received that request, I think, about a week or so before. And we were looking at spending $100,000 this year and maybe $100,000 next year in order to help complete that obligation or that purchase. So that's just a quick recap on what we had discussed in here. And so that's just setting the stage then for the rest of it. So floor's open to anybody who wants to.
So the $350 for the fire department, that was the total amount. Then we're going to divide it
No,
$100,000.
Yeah. It was $200,000. Their figure was $190,000 or something like that.
Yeah, it was almost $200,000.
Yeah, $198,000.
So probably taxes on everything.
$100,000 here and then $100,000 next year. Although if we did $123,000 and $124,000.
Yeah.
Although if we did that, then we would need to come up with that from somewhere in the 24 budget.
Well, you said that there was some option possible that needs to be explored a little bit more on the 350.
Yeah, Kurt, do you want to?
As far as the HVAC.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't been in part of any of these early discussions, so I came in today, but the HVAC system currently, I've been working with Apollo and staff, and we're trying to get the system where it should have been when it was installed. I'm not sure that it's that bad of a system. There was a lot of manipulation in the past with it. Getting to a point where I only have, I think, two thermostats that are not in control. Everybody was locked out of the thermostats. There's heaters that go in the vents to control the temperatures coming out of each room. We've got three of those to replace. And we ordered them in July, I think it was. We still haven't received those. We do have both compressor units up and going. One was completely removed and dismantled from the system. So we've got both of those up and going. So they are alternating. So at this point, as far as what I've found out about the system, I think we need to look at a separate system and getting rid of the Halar system that's in the computer room and get it on its own small HVAC system, small AC and heater unit that goes to the outside, so you're not drawing in the upstairs heat. And then I believe we can get this system going to where how it should have been ran. We may need to trace the ductwork. The technician from Apollo isn't sure that the actual ducts that are within the computer system that it's supposed to control are actually controlling the exact ducts that it says it is. We may need to replace some ductwork. So I'd kind of like to finish what I've been working on to try and get the system back before we gunny bag it and dump a bunch of money. And I think that this system that we have can function for this building. It's just a matter of fixing all the tweaks and everything that were going on prior to me being here that messed the system up. So I guess I don't necessarily think we need $350,000 to do that. But
what do you think it would take total? Just a guess, obviously, at this point.
A guess at this point with the system. I don't know what it's going to take for the Halar system to get a different system in. I don't know that dollar figure. But for the HVAC system, you know, I think $150,000 to $200,000 is plenty. I don't think we need to put a ton of money in there. I think $30,000 to $40,000 for redoing ductwork. The small AC or HVAC system for the computer room, I'm guessing probably, you know, maybe $30,000 to $35,000 would be a lot to put into that small system. But I think we've gone quite a ways with it. Just in the past 3-4 months, we brought it forward light years compared to what it was operating there.
So do you think if we put 200 in there?
I think that's a good figure. 200 would be good.
What did we do here? I know we did some work about 3 years ago. What did we do here, Buffer?
It seems like
we spent every year.
Well, yeah, but
it was 3 years we put a lot of money into it before COVID.
We replaced the boiler.
There you go. Yeah.
We replaced the boiler. We did some, I don't know what else. We replaced some, was it thermostats or?
Yeah.
Both thermostats were.
Both compressors have been replaced. So we've kind of piecemealed a lot of it together.
What would a new system for this building cost?
I don't think we've ever.
Complete system? I would have to. Today's numbers, I couldn't tell you, but you're probably talking around $500,000 to $600,000.
So I've been here for 9 months. This is my ninth year. And it seems like every single budget, we're having to dump a bunch of money into that. And, you know, it's just almost to the point where, you know, we can spend another $200,000 on it.
But with the $200,000, do you think that'll get us to the point where it's going to last for a while?
It should operate where it's supposed to be. Like I said, there was a lot of manipulation that caused a lot of issues with its operation. And I'm just, you know, going through each function and finding things. We may want to go through and update, you know, a different type of heater in these ducts. There might be some changes. It's still a good functioning system. It just has been altered so much that it's not functioning properly.
Now let's leave $200,000 in there for now and make the changes that are necessary. And that way you're covered, and move the other $100,000 to the fire department and be done with it. Then we don't have to worry about what
was it 190.
Yeah, it was like 190.
So 190.
Yeah. 95.
There you go.
Estimate cost 195 at current cost.
Put 195
in there. So I think we should lock up the other 57 for the heating system just to make sure, because this year after year after year is just, it is so tiring.
I remember replacing all the parts that Gina mentioned.
I'm sure.
But I remember the control zones. You know, because if you're going to control a room, you control it with a thermostat, and it gives you whatever. So how does that work? Do you have an idea how that works?
They were all locked out.
See, that's a problem right there.
There's a computer that runs this whole thing. When I came on, I got Abner to get in there. So Abner and Trevor both have controls. They can actually control it. I can get upstairs and control it. So we released all of the thermostats that had all the running heaters and everything. So 70% of the thermostats now actually function for the room temperatures. For instance, Sean, and our office was horribly cold or horribly hot. I think it's a lot more comfortable now.
It's a lot better.
So, I mean, it's finding what was done to the system to manipulate it. And we're 80% of the way there right now. Now we're waiting on a few parts to move forward on that. One, like I said, you guys replaced compressors, but one of them was completely cut from the system and the charge taken out of it. You only had one. And those are made to alternate when you run.
Yeah.
And so I got the one, got him to recharge that one last year, and we've got both of them functioning and they're alternating. So when one goes out, you're not down. You know, it's just the way it was designed. There was a lot of manipulation at this place.
So the 20% you said that we don't have, that they're not working as far as control, which rooms are they? Do you know?
Tanya's, the mayor's, and
that's
I think
where we have all the problem.
The front office.
Why don't we look into that? Try to get those.
That's what we've got ordered.
Because we probably have enough tons per square foot.
Oh, yeah.
Available, you know, with what we have for air conditioning and furnace, but we're not controlling it right.
Correctly.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, are the heat panels working?
We've got some of those have been disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know which ones those are, bathrooms or whatever. I know the women's bathroom is hot. We had them in Sean's office. Those are disconnected.
These ones here, like this.
Right? Yeah,
I don't think we've used those.
They're all disconnected. No, the bathroom, women's bathroom is not, but most of them are disconnected. So, yeah, it's just gonna take a little bit more time to trace things out and get it right. And I don't see any reason why it shouldn't function properly. To be honest with you,
I think we do try to control every room and make sure everything's working right. And then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
And then, but once you control everything and everything, if you're not cooling down or heating up, and then you go down to your, see if you got enough capacity that's going through the building.
Right.
And then on the Tagaris bathroom, I mean, we could split it like that, or we could put the 200 on REIT. But then we're going to have to wait a couple of years before we have anything to spend and read again. Give it time to build.
Sure. Yeah.
Does just six of one, half dozen of another, which way you want to go?
I like this breakdown. 195 paying for all the equipment, the fire department equipment and the breathing. And then 250 for the HVAC, and then the Garris Park, 100,000 from REIT and 100,000 from ARPA.
Yeah. I like it.
You guys like it?
Or like, yes. Yeah, should I green them?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to do other things as well to the parks for upgrading. Which we already approved.
Right, there's a bunch of things up there.
So we've got like 135,000 more going into the park upgrades. At 135,000 that you just referenced, what, 125 then? 50, 60, and 15?
Just these three here you're talking about.
Yeah. Picnic shelters, barbecues,
where Mallory said.
Okay. Well, we had a few other items that just came up. I think just one other one that came up. Corey, do you want to bring that up?
So, do you bring it up?
Go ahead.
For the light, the decoration.
Mm-hmm.
3,500.
For the company to buy
the decoration.
So we've been paying a company to come put the lights on the building and on the tree. And one, they're very professional, so I don't want to keep going with them. This is our last year with them. But the first year cost us $5,000, and then every year since then it costs $3,500. And that's just because, you know, kind of work them down to give us a discount.
But if we buy the decoration,
then probably can buy one. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything that we do is off of sponsors and donations. And that's a huge expense. $3,500 is a lot to add on, you know.
That's a huge burden we're putting on the lighting committee, the festival committee. I think that you and I were on the same page on this, that I believe that City Hall should be decorating its own. We should be putting those lights up every year and paying for the lights, and that shouldn't be on the committee to decorate our building. You know, and that'd take a burden off of them.
That would be great.
$3,500 would cover it or buy.
Well, I haven't looked into that. That's the fee that the company is charging us for them to come and put the lights on the building. I don't know what it would cost for us to buy our own lights.
So
you're going to want good commercial grade lights.
Yeah, so, my idea was getting some lights that we can, you know, change every year if we needed to. That way, you know, multicolor or just a warm color. Use the same ones, but that they have those settings.
But that was so cool. Like they're LED and you can switch the colors and set them to different themes to match different themes or whatever.
So if we set 5,000 that would be a good start.
Well, yeah, I haven't looked into that far.
But for them, for the company to come, they charge $3,500, originally $5,000. A lot of that is going to be their labor.
It's their labor.
So we'd be able to purchase those lights for. Yeah, that would cover. Yeah, I don't want to put that money aside to pay a company to come do it. I want to put that money aside to purchase the decoration. Yeah. And then Public Works can install them, right?
Yes.
So yeah, I'd like to see that.
I would say, yeah. And do the research, and if it ends up being more, you can come back and let us know. And
okay, I'll do that.
So that just adding that $5,000 to the general fund after everything else is included, it still has $142,000 over and above the minimum fund balance of $500,000 that we've established. Yes.
Yeah.
Is there? Okay, well, for this part of the conversation, I believe we're done. I think we can move forward to the front.
Excellent, Spencer. Thank you. Now I'd like to move to item 4B, which is the first public hearing on our 2023 budget. And I'd like to open that public hearing at 6:23 p.m. And we have with us the city's finance officer, Spencer Williams. Spencer, do you want to give a report to the city council?
Yeah, I just had a couple of comments. As you know, the budget is a long, drawn-out process. It's a complicated one. It's one that starts at least at the department head level early on in later July and in August, where we start looking at the year, where are we at, where do we think we're going to end up, what are the needs that we're thinking that the city needs for the new year. And we have a whole series of committee meetings. And in those meetings, we divide the budget up into a whole bunch of different sections so we can look at a piece at a time. In our last couple of meetings here with the whole council, we've been looking at the entire budget, everything together. And together, we've put together a budget that includes ideas from the mayor, from council, from the department heads. And as a budget that meets the current needs of the city as well as addressing future capital needs of the city. And it's the budget that, although no budget is ever perfect, that's why it's a living document, always able to change. I believe we've put together a budget that meets these needs that we've expressed in our certain needs. With that, we can go ahead with the public hearing. If there are any comments, you know the rest of it.
First of all, I'll ask council, do you have any questions for extension? Okay, with that, I'd open the public hearing for public testimony. If anyone from the public want to respond regarding the city's budget. Yes, Jake Mendez.
Yes, I have a question.
Come to the podium, please, right, and state your name and address for the record, please.
All right. Jake Mendez Jr., right here in Montgomery. I just had a few questions. As far as the budgeting goes, is there any other parts, other like Qantas Park, that's going to be into the budget as well, as far as like the restroom goes, like updating the restroom by any chance? I know some of the on the far end, I know that's like new and updated. As far as the original restroom, it's been like that since the 90s. Is there any way that restroom is going to be upgraded as well, as far as like the far end north of the corner park?
So in the budget that we have for 23, we don't have like major overhauls planned for that part there. We always have budget for rehab and ongoing operational needs to make sure that those facilities are up and going as much as possible. Are you aware, Kurt?
We didn't get a grant.
Is that part of the football grant with the restroom
and
the lighting?
Is that part of the football? Okay. Restroom, lighting, and trail. Yeah, so that was part of the RCO grant that we haven't received it yet because the legislature has to approve it, but we finished in the top seven, I think. Yeah, so it's pretty good shot that we're going to get funded for those improvements, and that includes the rehab of the restroom in that old restroom in Qantas Park.
Yeah, because I spoke with Commissioner Darrow about this it was a couple of months ago regarding the updates on the sidewalks, like the walkways, and it was going to be more wider, more paths across. And also, I had mentioned to see if it would be more accessible for people in wheelchairs as well. There's not really much indication that it's been lighting for those in wheelchairs. No indication. Not sure if the ADA has really looked into it. They were more capable, more inviting, something like that. People with disabilities can, frequent there. That's what I've seen most, especially at the lines park as well. It's not much signage for people with disabilities to where they have access for certain pathways that's designated for them compared to, just the general public. I understand there's only limited space that they have as far as like the horseshoe thingy that they have right there. So there's like other pathways leading up to the restroom, but it's only one pathway to where, there's like if they're going on an uphill, there's not much traction or leeway of those with canes for them to be able to access other parts of the park, especially Quantum Park. I know there's some access up to that restroom on a solid concrete going out there, but it seems like it's kind of complex when you look at Quantum Park. Their pathways is not really inviting to more wheelchairs.
Right. Yeah, that's what the new pathways intended to address that issue. I can't remember the exact layout at Kiwanis Park with regard to the old bathroom. I know the new bathroom is fully handicap accessible. Kurt, do you?
On these grants, accessibility is one of the main items you have to do. So in that design, that
will be only the reconstructed basically on the inside, the bathroom building, all the walkways have to be accessible. So everything will be updated. The trail is actually going to be 14 feet wide. You actually need a trail standard. So all that stuff has to be addressed in those grants for to receive that.
There's another key detail I've noticed at the water park. There's not much of any braille reading for restroom. That is the knowledge that for visually impaired. That's one thing that I've noticed many years ago to this day. So that's something that I'm kind of concerned about too. You got to consider those who are just visually impaired that are helping those trying to get us to the restrooms. You know which one, both men or women. That's one of the key themes as to why I go out to these parks and physically be there. And I got to look at it from all perspectives, not just ones who could see and walk, but I got to put myself in those that are not able to see, in those people that are in wheelchairs. So that's the reason why I'm out here all over town to make sure that everybody has all access to all these parks. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else from the public? Okay, hearing none, I'll close the public testimony. Council, are you looking for any additional information? All right. I think I'm going to continue this public hearing, Spencer, until the next one.
Next
week.
This?
Yep. Okay. So I'll close this public hearing at 6:31 p.m. And now we'll move to our next item on our agenda, which is the public hearing on the capital facilities plan. And I'll open that public hearing at 6:31 p.m. And our city finance officer, Spencer Williams, has a report for city council.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is another quick item. This is our 6-year capital facility plan. Every year as part of the budget, we put this plan together, and this plan brings everything together for park and rec, for the infrastructure, water, street, sewer, all these different plans that we have around the city. This plan brings all those pieces to one place. Nothing that you see on this plan should be a surprise. If you have any questions, I can field those, or Sean is here, and if you had any questions about some specific infrastructure projects that are on there, he can field some of those also.
Council? Okay, and I'd like to move to the public testimony portion of this public hearing. I'd like to open that up. Is there anyone here who would like to comment on the proposed 6-year capital facility plan for the city? Okay, thank you, Spencer. Hearing none, I'll close the public testimony and close this public hearing at 6:33 p.m. And now we'll move to...
And with that one, there's no motion tonight. I'll bring this back at our next meeting for approval, final approval.
And now... Item 4D is adopting the ordinance approving our 2023 ad valorem property tax.
Got a lot of different items here. We're almost done through the budget step for tonight. This item is an action item. Now, ultimately, I'm looking for an approval for the attached ordinance. Every year, a major portion of revenue for the general fund comes from property tax revenues, and I work closely with the county on developing what that number is. Ultimately, they go out and they have their evaluations, and they also have the evaluations of the new construction. And when they give me those numbers, then we can work that number as a proposed revenue into the budget. That's what we've done this year, and the attached ordinance would allow the city to collect that full amount.
Any questions, Council? This is something we do every year. We set this figure, and we, I think we set it at the highest amount. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So with that, I'd entertain a motion to approve this ad valorem tax ordinance for the fiscal year 2023.
I'll make a motion to approve the ad valorem tax ordinance for fiscal 2023.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Almost done. Spencer.
Two items.
Let's move to item 4E, which is the water rate ordinance.
So this item and the next item are both water rate related. We have, right now we have a water rate ordinance that covers rates for 3 years, and 22 this year is the final year of that 3 year rate ordinance. So we need to establish rates for the next 3 years, for typically we set them for 3 years. What I'm proposing here actually is that we only, that we establish rates for 1 year. And the reason for that is related to the presentation that the FCS group made to us about a month ago. FCS group recently looked over our systems and our rates, and they put together a report for us that they brought to you as council. And I attached that presentation for you, where they're looking at the rates and what we should be charging. And they proposed a 2.25% increase to our water rates. When they looked at our rates, they were looking at the system as a whole. They're going to be doing another study where they look at rates across class or customer types. So they're going to be looking at residential rates versus commercial rates. And maybe one should increase 1%, maybe the other should increase 3%. I don't know, but maybe it should be different. Based on the customer type. And they're going to get that report back to us this next year. And so I propose that we just establish water rates for 1 year. And then next year, when we get that report back from them, then we can establish the rates for the other 2 years. Then as a whole, we're still on that 3 year cycle for the water rates. And I'm kind of jumping the gun here with the 2.25% increase for the water rates. That was the discussion and the proposal by the FCS group. And when that presentation was made to council, it sounded like we were all kind of on board with that. So I just went forward preparing an ordinance for that to present to you tonight as full council for your approval.
For 1 year.
For 1 year, yep. I also
attached. Now is that 2.25 going to be just on the consumption rate?
That's to both the base rate and the consumption, to both of them.
Yeah. So good. Can question. You give us some examples of what that is going to look like? Because you have them in the presentation, right?
Yeah, there were some in here. Let's see. I believe maybe they were down quite a ways. They had some comps, some sample residential bills right here. So the existing water bill, average water bill, averaged over a year, was $56 a month, and 2.25% would have about $1.25 increase to that rate. Is that kind of what you were looking for?
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's not that significant.
I also, just for interest, you can see what the other utilities are doing here. This is the water that we're talking about right now. Then the sewer rate for next year has a 0% increase, and then the solid waste has a 1% increase. So you can see what's the overall effect with all three utility rates. With that, I would propose that we approve the 1 year rate for the past ordinance.
I'll take that motion.
I'll make the motion to approve the proposed 1 year rate.
Thank you, Zenit. Second. Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So the one action requires an equal and reaction to the Adams County Water District rate.
Right, for our next item here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll now move to item 4F.
This is also an action item to approve the attached resolution. And this item is attached to the water rates. We, as a city, we have an agreement with Adams County Water District number one, where we agreed to provide them with water, even though they're outside of the city limits. And we do that by resolution. And then this resolution also would establish those rates for just the 2023 or just the 1 year. And then we'll come back next year when we look at the other rates for the other 2 years and revisit this for the 24 and 25 years.
So it's just for 2023 because you have 2023 through 2025 on here.
Yeah, I put that up there because we still have the option if you want to set the rates for all 3 years.
Yeah.
And so the attached resolution, though, will only establish rates for 2023. And for that same reason that we just discussed.
Questions, Council?
What will it take their rate to?
Anyone outside the city pays 1.5 times whatever the city rate is.
You're paying 84, but see, then the Adams County Water District also adds, I don't know what their fee is, but they have a fee on top of it. But at least from the city's standpoint, it would be $84.35 a month, their current rate.
If you go to the ordinance,
does it show it?
It talks about
units.
You got to define what a unit is. But the unit costs were
one unit, 100 cubic feet of water.
Per cubic foot.
So, yes, yeah, so this is for down here, just the base rates for a 6-inch meter. So our charge is about 2/3 of that. So I don't have that right in front of me, of this 2000. So the in-city rate for that is about $1,300-ish.
For about $2 a month.
Okay.
If you use what the average rate was for the cities, and you say that that's the average rate for the Adams County Water District, and times 1.5, there were around $84 a month was their rate from at least the city's portion of it, and then 2.25 would add an additional amount up to $86.24 a month.
Okay.
Any other questions, Council? I'd entertain a motion then.
I move to approve the attached resolution establishing water rates for the Adams County Water District number one for 2023.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll move to item 4G, adopt ordinance 1585, amending the Othello Municipal Code, chapter 9.32, speed limits. And Sean O'Brien has a report for City Council, City Engineer.
Fairly simple. This is something that you asked city staff to look at, and with the section of First Avenue from just north of Columbia Street to Elm Street, 4-lane road, no parking, in fact, I guess 5-lane road, center turn lane. And so the average speed in the packet you can see the cars are already doing close to the 85th percentile at 35 miles per hour. So we're making essentially most of the cars speed just to go what's comfortable, go down that stretch. So looking at it, there really have been no accidents in that stretch except at the intersection with Scutney. There was your occasional accident there, which is what you're going to have when you have two major streets. Injury investigation shows that, I mean, this change makes sense. And we can always revisit it. I would suggest we revisit it at about the 1 year period to see if it has led to any unsafe conditions, and we can reconsider it at that time.
Questions, council? I'll entertain a motion then to adopt this ordinance.
I'll make the motion to adopt ordinance 1585 to amend ordinance C chapter 9.32.
Second. Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
That goes into effect in a week, right?
I think it's 5 days after publish, Tanya?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, the next item on our agenda is an SNC wastewater discharge agreement. I think we've had a number of discussions about this over the last several years. And Sean, give a report on this.
So with SVZ, they started discharging into our system in 2016, and we had an agreement with them. And that agreement was put together by Burrell and had some kind of tricky things that if they exceeded, they really got hammered, and they shouldn't exceed. They should be able to stay within their permit or within their discharge limits. But when they have exceeded, they came in and, you know, complained to the city really experiencing these costs. I mean, and the answer was no. Just with our existing treatment plant, it really didn't affect us. It didn't increase our operation costs. But they do, they're allowed to give up to 1,000 pounds per day of BOD. Our treatment plant, typically, when they're not on our system, it takes about 1,100 to 1,300 pounds. So the kind of the give and take we have is that we eliminated those kind of penalties that they couldn't really budget for, but we did bump up, or we reduced the limits and bumped up the cost so that typically they can stay under 300 pounds, but they do have, when they were running full, they were getting up over 700, 800 pounds of BOD per day. So we're trying to present something that kind of gives them incentive to not give us high flows when they have real strong BOD, that we can take their full, they're allowed to give a discharge 80,000 gallons a day. If it's low BOD, that doesn't have as big of an impact on our plant. But we are getting our plant more closer and closer to being compliant, and we're not quite sure how. We've reduced over half our flow going to our system, and we're not quite sure how these, when they start kicking on and giving us their flow, how much is going to tweak our system. And when we get their high flow, that's great. We could be able to get 85% removal a lot easier. The problem is we're not sure if that flow goes through, and 3 months later when it's being discharged, but our influent now doesn't have SVZ flow, or we can have a harder time meeting our permit. So this is giving them incentive to try to give us a more consistent load. And if we bumped up those pounds, like before they pay the pound per same rate, a pound per BOD, up to 1,000 pounds. We lowered that down to 400 pounds. At 400 pounds, they start paying more. And we took that penalty from 1.5 to 2, but it's only on the excess flow. So this is an agreement that we've been working out with them, and I think it is an improvement on both sides from what we had originally.
And they're in agreement with this?
Yes.
You guys have ironed it out?
Yep. And then the other thing is we've had some hits of cyanide at our treatment plant, and we don't know what the source is. Our hits have showed up typically in our effluent in March and May, which FBZ, if you go backtrack 3 to 4 months, that's potentially when they're discharging. They're not required on their discharge permit with the state to test for cyanide, but they have agreed to include a test every other week, testing what they're discharging us to see for the first year to see if they are a source of it. I mean, we're talking parts per million, maybe billion. It's a very small amount, but it is detected, and we want to get. We've had 2 violations over the last 5 years with cyanide. So,
they're in May.
We've had 1 in March and 1 in May.
Okay, that's about the time that they do chemical testing for soils for planting. Have you talked to the labs?
We're just starting to try to track it down. So, I mean,
yeah, I would talk to the labs.
Public Works has taken some samples. We've had some hits with mercury.
Maybe labs and cool labs, because they're doing soil sampling. You know, they could be dumping cyanide.
We have to have a plan to try to track down those sources, but it's intermittent. And it
could
not
be something they're mixing to, you know, get another result.
So
I would look at that.
Yeah, we're gonna
March and May. That's planting time. It's when they're running soil testing.
So are you thinking it's an issue with the testing labs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
It also mostly comes from pits.
Yes, peach pits are a source of cyanide, but SDZ's position is that they're keeping them intact. There's not. That shouldn't be released, but we're open to write them off, and we're also open. We just don't have any more hits of cyanide. That would be the perfect thing. But when we have them, we need to be taking some efforts to try to track down the source and prevent it from happening.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll entertain a motion to approve this 5-year agreement.
I'll make a motion to approve the 5-year agreement between the City of Othello and the SDZ USA.
I'll second that.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I'd like to move along in our agenda at item 5, unfinished business. Council, do you have some unfinished business for me?
I got a question for Kirsten. Did we ever figure anything out on that light at Broadway thing?
We need to, it can go on auto. We can change it back. It's set at a time right now. I was going to contact you and kind of see what you wanted, what your thoughts were on that. And we also had, in the meantime, a power outage on the kitchen door, power for the power company. So I didn't want to change that and then have to redo it. So we can do that at any time. But if you'd like, we can discuss that.
The last meeting, John had asked, John Laws had asked me to provide information as to what projects had been carried over in the budget. So the first item is the immutable backup solution that right now is Abner explained that at the last city council meeting that he was in the process of putting that together. The police information, the drone, you're still trying to get that this year, but
we actually think we can pull that off this year. I've got a contract that happened in Snohomish County a week ago. I've got all the documents. They are run it by Kelly. I think we can piggyback on that and probably have that purchase made before the end of the year. But Spencer, if it's easy enough just to move it into next year, then we can complete it that way and not have to worry about trying to get an invoice on time.
We can do that, yeah.
Yeah. So, Chief, you got $96,000 that's been dropped from your budget this year. That was all rolled into the beginning fund balance start with, and then we only had $85,000 is roughly to spend this year because we ate up other large portions of the public safety tax, which is primarily where all of this came from. After things like the court system and stuff like that.
Okay. The well number six VFD council knows this has been on too long. Probably what, 5 or 6 years?
Well, more than that.
More than that, eight.
Okay, maybe eight. I discussed that with Kurt and with Sean. And Sean, did you want to say anything about?
Well, this is one that's been on the public works list for a number of years, but it has never really been explained to me why we want to go to a VFD. Or why we want to change the voltage. It just hasn't been, it hasn't been my priority, and there's kind of languished down there at the public works. So it's a project that I know it is old equipment that they're worried about getting it up and running, but.
It's a 14,000 volt system.
Correct.
It's across the line. Mm-hmm. There's no control, it's on or off. And well number six has a higher fluoride level than the rest of the wells in the city.
Right.
So when we get to where we have a well down and we don't have that in feed to the storage reservoirs, we have to run six and we only run it at night. And we only run it for a short period of time.
I think it only runs when it's the other wells can't keep up. It kicks on whenever it has to. And it shuts
In emergency situations before where we've actually had to run well number six because we've had more than one well down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we put it on a lower voltage, put it on a VFD, we could blend that water from well number six continuously throughout the day.
I don't know if you run well six continuously, the people are getting, the water's going out every direction from that well.
Yeah, but
there's a true blending issue with that. I kind of looked into it. I talked to Sean about this, and I don't know if there's a way. To me, it'd be better off if we could figure out a piping system. I know that I think it goes put a 14th now or something. There's a pipe that runs down, but it needs to be a blending project versus.
The reason it's never been addressed, it has never got this public work, has never really said.
So the PPM for the TMDL for the
fluorides
is 4.0, right? Zero. If it's running at 4.5 and you're only putting in 500 or 600 gallons a minute, then you're using, 1,200, 1,300 gallons a minute. There's more fresh water coming in from other sources. It's not going to go to one standpipe and one
It doesn't go to a standpipe. The problem is it stays in that area. It's not piped to mix.
One of the issues with well six is a
bigger issue
than that when it kicks on, it's high fluoride, so it tends to kind of settle out a little bit, so it's not as high.
So you get past up, like, practices, what are you talking about in the past practices? They ran it. They ran it, but across the line, you're running it at 2,500 gallons a minute.
And all that
so where is that going to?
Every time.
Well, it's getting rid of big amount of fluoride, but it first comes on. If it runs continuously, the fluoride drops.
When it's pumping, it's higher pressure than every direction around it. So the water is going every direction, and yes, working its toward the reservoir, but those first 2, 3, 4 blocks every direction, or whichever, even further, whichever way that water is going, and the majority is getting 100% water that does not meet drinking water standards. So, in any case, the reason it's never gotten done is because it's if we're going to VFD, it's not something we're going to do in a house. It's going out to a consultant. It's never been pushed by anybody that this is a priority. I haven't had any, it's not like I've been sitting around going, oh, I wish I had something to do. Public Works never proceeded with working with Varela to get it going. The well is running. It's working. VFDs are much more complex and much more expensive.
Yeah.
And if you're going with
every single one of the wells I operated had a VFD on it, had a transducer. You don't even have to touch it. The computer runs it. It does it. And you can set up any parameters you want it to operate under.
Oh yeah, you have lots of flexibility. But when it goes down, it's not a simple fix, and it's not. And it's much more
expensive. Well, they're pretty reliable nowadays. I mean, the VFDs. Yeah, I would worry more about the pump going out than I would about the VFD.
So
I would.
But at the time that we did this, we were looking at doing a smaller size pump, a smaller sized, switchgear, and VFD. And at that time, 8 years ago, $500,000 would have been adequate. I don't think we can do it today for that value.
Yeah, and I don't have a clue
how much. It's really, you could bring up 1,200 to 1,500 gallons a minute with a 400 horse and less. That's a 600 horse or 900 horse across the line. That's 14,000 volts. Now, when you go up in voltage, you go less in actual kilowatts. And actual cost comes down. But it's all or nothing with that hole. And if we get into an emergency situation, we're not going to be able to use it. We weren't able to before. Now, in 1995, they talked about running a separate line to the facilities, the factories, SVZ, Simplot, and McCain, and saying, okay, if you guys want city water, this has got high fluoride levels, which isn't going to hurt your process at all. But we can feed you, 2,500 to 3,000 gallons a minute.
And they didn't want it.
It never got done. This was in 1995.
I remember that.
I would request that you give Sean and I at least a little bit so we can digest this whole project and make sure that it is a good engineering decision. Not saying it isn't, but we haven't really been exposed to this certain project enough to do the evaluation of it.
So with the VFD, you can regulate the amount of volume you want to put in there.
Yeah.
So like if your tipping point for the fluoride levels in the amount of water you have, in the system is 600 gallons a minute, then you can put 600 gallons a minute in. You could, but at a time when you don't have another well, like you lose number 8, and it goes down and you lost that 800 gallons a minute, that 600 gallons a minute becomes very important.
Right. I think right now we're lucky that they even allow us to pump it at all without having to treat it, which
you send out.
But it is only supposed to be the last well that comes on.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be the first well that shuts off. So
my understanding with the VFD is that when you initially kick that well on, the fluorides are higher than 4.0, but they do come down as the longer it runs.
Okay.
They come down within range, and it's how it used to be. And you can talk to Dan, but one of the reasoning for the VFD, my understanding was that since those levels are so high when it initially kicks on, it allows you to kind of dribble it out there until those come down, and then you're not like spiking the fluorides in the adjacent area.
I've never had that explained to me, and generally you try to avoid VFDs. You just need one on your system.
I understand the VFD and how it works, but like I said, it's still a mixing issue. Where this is entering the system is not at the reservoir. That's where you mix.
Yeah.
So you're putting in, say it goes two blocks down and goes into four different directions. That's not much mix between the whole system because it's not coming into higher pressure.
But again, with a VFD, you wouldn't be over pressurizing the system. You'd just be putting it in. And the volume of water that's in the system would be diluting that value. Mm-hmm. So if you have 2 million gallons of water being used and you're only putting in 450 or 400,000 from well number six, the dilution of that will bring those fluoride levels down at the end user.
Yeah.
But not at
the end. That was my understanding of it too.
Well, there's already water in the line.
Yeah.
And the water's still going to be in the line from the other wells, from the standpipes, feeding into the into the system.
But it's going to be pushing out in all directions. You have a hydraulically your high water line is at that source of pushing the water in the system. But in any case,
I suggest
it has never progressed because it's a very complex job.
Questions to that go along with it. I suggest you do some research on it, and then you're going to cost it out again because that 500,000 ain't going to go very far today. But we've got one well that we're not doing what we should be doing with.
But it is running and it's producing water. That's
when was the last time it turned on?
When it needed to. And it's not supposed to turn on unless it is absolutely the last well to come on.
Yeah, but that's not the way to run a well.
But that's the only way we can. But we're lucky to use it at all. The Department of Health could say no.
Shut her down.
So we're not saying VFD, and then we have to go through the Department of Health to approve it and get it down to it. Or what?
No.
Right now we have approval. It's
approval of emergency well with emergency.
Yeah, you can kick on.
VFDs just how it runs. They don't. I don't think they necessarily care how it runs.
It would kick on until the reservoirs are filled, and then it would shut off. And the other wells can keep up, which they can. Well, they do all. Typically during the winter months, well six doesn't run at all. I would say 9 out of 10 years it doesn't run at all in the winter.
Quite possibly
it hasn't. But summertime, when we have our peaks, there's times where it kicks on to.
But Stan should have all the history on that.
Yeah, Apple will make this a priority. Give us until February or March, and we'll bring back some more information, and probably at a committee meeting, if that's okay.
Yeah. Okay. And then the last one is the solid waste alley approaches improvements. The only reason I think I can give about that is because it just wasn't a priority for Public Works at the time.
It needs to be done. There's a lot of areas where we've got a lot of gravel on the road. It just gets dragged out.
Be longer than what we
been
putting in.
They need to be longer than just a sidewalk. Because I think they were just putting them in up to the back side of
I think they were just doing 20 feet, right?
Yeah.
20 years longer than that. That was 20 feet wide, 25 feet long. I think there was a rectangle.
We did some when we did the water main project down the alleyway from 7 to 10. We put in, we took money from that. It was while we had the alley dug out.
Usually when there's a project right there at the alley, that's when they get done.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, that money's there in that, but we build that into that budget, and it would be nice to see that going forward. There for a while, we were doing them every year, doing so many every year that we could with the money that's in the budget that's allowed in the rates. So it'd be nice to see that go forward.
Okay. Yeah, but $55,000 is not going to cover it. Or is it?
It does a number of them, and they were doing so many a year.
I did all the ones in Olympia. I think we did 4 or 5 of them there when we did Olympia. But Rainier doesn't have them on the Rainier side, right?
No.
That's just on the Olympia side. I sound kind of cheap for me. I don't know. Well, don't know how many there is. Did you?
Well, well, there's a lot of alleys this way.
Yeah, it's quite grand now, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I think when we put that in there, we put, you know, enough that they could do so many a year, and then the next year they'd do a few more. And I mean, it's built into the how much the rates go up, and we didn't want to overdo it.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other unfinished business, Council?
Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome. Any new business? Anya?
All right. We're gonna finish the float on Thursday, and we need some of you to get on the float for Saturday. You guys don't know if they just can text me and let me know. So
Chris and I can probably.
No.
Scores turn this year. I did it last year.
You know what? So last year I went and bought about 35 pounds of candy. And then I got a text saying, oh, we don't need you.
From who?
From who?
It was.
Yeah,
so do you know how long it takes to get rid of 35 pounds of candy?
No kidding.
Just bring it.
35
I didn't bring
any. We went over to So do I Sportsman, that grocery store over there. Uh-huh. They sell bulk candy. Winco. We bought bags of that stuff. I mean, bags.
Because Chris and I ran down and bought, we had Walmart bags that we all
so your Halloween candy was a year old?
Oh, right.
John Erickson's
been
home with it, so. Yeah, at least two more people.
I think Chris and I can be
there. Bring your kids too.
Bring your kids.
Yeah.
Trying to do like Santa's workshop thing.
So dress them like elves.
I will do. I'll love that.
We're good.
Okay, I'll put you down. Thank you.
Yep. Any more business?
We might have my son home too.
And item 7 is the council will also receive planning commission minutes. And having no further business to come before the council, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting. It is 7:11 p.m.
What's your theme this year? I think Corey should
have.
You know what? I'm 1 inch. I'm 1 inch. Every year.